Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. We have a very special guest on today, Jeff Moon, a brewer who started with a love of beer and a homebrew kit, now owner of Restless Moons Brewing in Harrisonburg. Jeff helped X2 Comedy get its start as we did our first show at his brewery in 2018. At Restless Moons, they make a wide variety of beers and have ongoing events and a rustic, cozy atmosphere you can enjoy inside and out. We're delighted he's here and fortunate to have some of his time to chat with him today. Welcome, Jeff.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, it's so exciting. It's where we got our start. I couldn't wait to interview you today. And Jeff is actually listeners, laughers. He's in his brewery as we speak. So if you hear any background noise, that's what you're hearing. And we want to make sure that you know where he is and where he's located so you can not only just enjoy his amazing beer, but his events too. Before we talk about all that, I think what the listeners would really enjoy hearing first is your story about how you went from home brew kit to owning a brewery. So can you tell us how that came to be?
Sure. I mean, it's a little bit convoluted. I got into craft beer, I think it would have been late 2011, something like that, right around the time that I turned 21. Not before I turned 21, because that's bad, everybody. But I started really getting into the different styles and understanding that beer was more than just the yellow fizzy stuff, right around 2011. And around 2013, my wife got it in her head that, you know, if I enjoyed it as much as I did, why don't I try making it? And I poo-pooed her for a long time, saying, you know, there's plenty of good beer out there. Why do I need to waste my time trying to make it myself? And she, of course, did not listen to me. She never does. And the homebrewing kit for my birthday in 2013. And of course, I was wrong, as I always am. And very much enjoying it and started delving into the process of making beer, really getting into the nitty-gritty of the different styles and how to make them. And I did that for 3 or 4 years, just kind of homebrewing on a pot on my stove. 1 gallon batch is very small, most of it unpalatable, but a couple of them turned out okay. So enough turned out okay that I was getting more confident in what I was doing. And unfortunately, at the same time, I was rather dissatisfied with my career. We were living up in Washington, D.C., and I was an economist with the federal government, and it just was not for me, unfortunately. Sitting behind a desk, you know, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, it was just not something that I could see myself doing for the rest of my life. So I started looking for ways to get into the brewing industry, and I didn't know if that was going to be, you know, washing kegs to start, working at shift brewer, something like that. But I was always interested in owning my own place one day. And I'd gotten in the habit of looking through classified sections on a website called Pro Brewer, which is just an industry website where people talk about different problems they're having. They can post up classifieds, you can buy equipment, and you, as it turns out, you can buy entire breweries. And I had come across a listing for a small brewery in the Shenandoah Valley, which was an hour and a half from where we were living, which was close enough for me to check out. And I drove down here, saw the facility that they were looking to move out of, which was Wolf Street Brewing at the time. And it ended up being about perfect size for one guy to run everything, make all the beer, kind of one man show, which was what I was really looking for, at least to start, just because I'm interested in making my own beer, really not having to worry about staff. I enjoy the process of making beer, so being able to do that myself was certainly appealing. And about a 6-month, very arduous SBA loan process later, we were able to purchase Wolf Street Brewing. And then after a couple months, we renamed it Restless Moons Brewing. That's just because, you know, very much wanted it to be our own thing. Since we had uprooted our lives, it was important that we put our own stamp on what we're doing. So it's our place now. We've been here for coming up on 4 years, and so far, so good.
Yeah, I think so. It's a really great place. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You actually just made me think of something I additionally want to ask. The meaning behind the name. I know it, but I think it would be really cool if the Laughers could hear the meaning.
It might make sense because, unfortunately, maybe I didn't think through the name quite enough, but I often get people either know my last name is Moon, so they'll call the brewery Restless Moon, or they'll see it's Restless Moon, so they assume that my last name is Moons. So either way, everyone's getting it wrong, which, the point behind Restless Moons was, this is very much a family affair for me. It's me and my sister are part owners. I try to involve my family as much as I can in everything that we do. You know, my wife is a huge part. She runs pretty much all the back end of the financials. So it's not just me that's doing the stuff here. And I know that I tend to be the face of the place, but it's not just me. So when I named it Restless Moons, it's because it is a family affair. There are multiple of us doing things here. And in terms of where the restless came from, that's mostly because it's a good description of where I was in my life before doing this and just kind of a good descriptor of our family in general. We like to be doing things and we don't like sitting on our hands idly. So that's more or less how we ended up doing this, just because I needed to be doing something different with myself and engaging.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's a great story. It's very meaningful. It ties and connects with your family. I love it. It's a great name. Now, I have come to understand among the brewing community that perhaps not all brewery owners also brew. Is that correct? Is it unique that you are the owner and the brewer?
I don't know if I would say it's unique. It's very dependent on the size of the place and the setup. You know, in town, Sean over at Friendly Fermenter, he's the owner and he brews as well. But once you get to a certain size, it becomes much more difficult to manage everything going on top of the brewing. I mean, we're five barrel system and I struggle at times to do everything on top of the brewing, which is why I also recently hired an assistant to help me get through this stuff, which is also attributable to the fact that I have a 1.5-year-old at this point and he takes up a lot of time on top of a small business and brewing and all of that too. But I think you find once you get to a larger system that's worrying about distribution and having, you know, a lot more patrons and other things that the business owner has to be doing, it almost becomes impossible for you to be the brewer and the taproom manager and, you know, marketer and all these different things.
Yeah. So it's dependent upon the size of the operation.
For the most part.
For the most part. Okay.
I think there are some owners that are still involved in the brewing process, but once you get to the point that, you know, the tanks are the size of 2-story buildings, it's there. Usually worried about other things like branding, worrying about sales figures, getting their beer to different markets, stuff like that. It just gets tough to do everything all at once.
I see. Okay. Well, I'm going to be excited to follow your journey as you expand because I see that happening for you. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm going to put that out there. You make the brew there at Restless Moons. What excites you most about making it?
I mean, I think each individual beer is exciting in its own way. Like I think we've gotten ourselves a reputation for doing interesting, unique things, which I enjoy that process, trying to find new flavors and finding ways to incorporate them into a beer, into something that tastes good, hopefully, most of the time. So that's one way that it's exciting. But sometimes there are some very well-defined styles that we enjoy trying to nail the parameters of that style as closely as we can. Like our flagship is a Pilsner, and that's my favorite style of beer. It's a very simple style, but we take a lot of pride in trying to make it as perfect as it can be. And so maybe the fact that we're brewing the same recipe over and over again is not the most exciting thing, but we make little tweaks here and there to try and make it as perfect as we can. And that's interesting for us, at least.
Yeah, constantly changing flavors, I feel like. How often are you changing them?
Oh, so like I said, we only really have the one flagship. There's another one that we're considering keeping on tap fairly regularly, but we have 10 other taps that are rotating constantly. We're on pace to put a new beer out every single week, if not multiple new beers every single week. So it usually depends on how quickly things are moving through the tap list. We try not to brew more beer than we can put on tap because that's bad business management. But for the most part, the size batches that we brew and how quickly things move, things come off tap once a week and then we put something on to replace it.
Yeah, and you have really cool names too. How do you guys... You're welcome. How do you come up with... Where's the inspiration of these names coming from and who comes up with them? Is this a team thing, a Jeff thing, a Moon family thing? How is this?
Most of them are my brain children. you know, my assistant and I will spitball on name ideas most brew days because, you know, brew days we're here for 8 hours. So we just need to find things to talk about, and coming up with beer names is usually one of those topics. And, yeah, I mean, inspiration comes from all over the place. Usually it's a bad pun of some sort that, I mean, that or an inside joke that's just me and my assistant brewer that we're the only people that get. But, you know, we get a kick out of it. And as long as it doesn't sound completely out there, it's not too bad. Pop culture references are easy. It's just a question of like who will get it. Honestly, we get a weird, I don't know if I would say we, I get a strange kick out of trying to find an obscure pop culture reference and then seeing how many customers get it.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, it's like one in every 20 that they'll actually understand what we're referencing. And like, it's, I don't know, it feels like it's a special treat for them that they actually get the name. And like, I like to see those people as like, oh, I get it. And then, you know, their friends are like, what are you talking about? So.
So fun. I love that. That's so good. Okay, so I know you're in the brewery right now and you have a menu. It's right in front of you. Can you list them off for us just to give people an idea what those names are, so they can get, the listeners can get a sense.
Well, do you want me to explain the names or to just go through them and let them try and figure them out for themselves?
Okay, how about we do this? You go through them all and then pick a few that you can say how you came up with it. So that way there's some engaging interest and then maybe they can come in and talk to you and guess the ones you didn't talk about.
Okay.
Today, on the podcast.
Very first one up there is a beer called Margarita Repulsa, which it's a goes, which there's, I think most people will recognize the name Rita Repulsa. Maybe that's a very 90s kid thing, but she is the villain from Power Rangers. And anyone who has been here over the past 2 years, we've been doing a series of gozos called Goza Goza Sour Ranger. And now that we've gone through all the color of the Power Rangers, which that was what that was based on, we made another Goza based on the villain, Rita Repulsa. So that's where that one comes from.
Cool.
Yeah. some people get that one. A lot of people are like, I don't know where you're coming up with this name. Why are you calling it a margarita and then putting Repulsa after it?
Yeah. I'm one of those with my 52-year-old self, but never mind that.
Well, it's from the 90s usually, so 30 to 40-year-olds maybe.
I love it.
We got another one called Saison de Luo. We have a one called Through the Fire and Flames, our Harrisonburger Pilsner, Dances with Wolves, which is a lemon lavender blonde ale. We have an IPA called Problem Child, a Belgian pale ale called Uptown Monk, a red lager that we call Lager Rhythms, which I don't think a lot of people get that one because they just see lager beside the word rhythms, but I'm a math major and it's a play on logarithms, which I'm always surprised how many people don't get it because I guess most people don't do a ton of math, but you know.
Exactly. And I'd be one of those too.
Got a coffee stout called Pot of Gold, this one no one gets. It's a bacon brown ale called Kummerspeck, which is a German word that literally translates to grief bacon. It's a weird colloquial German term for weight that you put on when you're depressed. And when I discovered that, I knew that I needed to make some sort of bacon beer. because most people that come in here don't speak German. They don't usually get that one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Then we have Lifestyles of the Witch and Famous, which people recognize as either the Olds TV show or the, I believe it's Good Charlotte song. And that one, it's Witch and Famous because it's a collaboration with the local sandwich shop, and they really seem to like that particular band. So the last one we have up there is King of the Baltic Twilight. So
King of the Baltic Twilight, where did you get that idea from?
That one is more difficult. So it's a Baltic porter, and we're trying to think of some way to get Baltic into the name. And the only thing I can remember is there is an obscure artist called King of the Nordic Twilight, which for whatever reason, a friend that I had in middle school really liked referencing that for some reason. And so that's what stuck out in my head when we were trying to name it. And there it is.
I love it. This engaging conversation you can have with people as they come in.
Yeah. But again, it's like something like the King of the Baltic Twilight is a reference that literally no one but me would get. And you know, that's fine. It's a good enough name for a beer that, like, I guess I don't feel like there needs to be some deep meaning behind it. It's just fun.
No, just fun. Yeah, fun is good. Yeah, we didn't have much fun over COVID, speaking of fun. And it's nice that things are opening up, but also, it's very interesting how people experienced COVID, how it affected their business. Can you talk about that experience for you?
And sure.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, we've been very lucky with the way everything played out for us. I mean, we have a fairly large outdoor space. It's larger than our indoor space. And so for all of the months where it was above 50 degrees, we were able to space the tables out by 6 feet. And most of our customers were more than happy to just sit out there as long as the weather was cooperating. On top of that, as soon as everything started shutting down for COVID, we had been considering getting into canning for a couple of months. So as soon as things started to shut down, we decided we were going to pull the trigger on that. And we started doing 4 packs of 16 ounce cans. And the reception to that has just been great. You know, especially with those 2 months where all we could do was take out, and having both growler options and the can options really helped us get through those months. And then as soon as things were able to open up again, our capacity really wasn't impacted that much just because of how much outside space we have, and we have more offerings. You know, we didn't have cans before COVID, and then all of a sudden we can serve in-house and have more things for people to take home. So past year, you know, I feel a little bit, what's the word that I'm looking for? I feel a little bit bad just talking about how well we've been able to get through the past year and a half, because I know that some people were, a lot of people were not nearly as lucky as we were. But you know, we had 2 months where we had to restrict some of our staffing hours, but no one had to leave. Everyone came back to the hours that they had as soon as we were able to open up in person again, and we're still here. So
yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Now the camp beer, did you mention that it comes in four packs, right?
Or yeah, they come in 4 packs. We also sell them as singles if people really want to, like, mix and match. But
Oh, I didn't realize the mix and match. See, I'm learning new things too today talking to you. That's cool. All right. So you can get that Baltic.
King of the Baltic Twilight? Yes.
Yeah, they can get some of that. Yeah. You are also a family man. You mentioned your son earlier. He's 1.5. His name is Oliver. Right. And now I'm curious, does Oliver want to be a part of the brewing process? Is he very curious when he's there with you?
He's curious about everything. I'm a little bit hesitant to introduce him to too much around here because there's lots of heavy, sharp things and chemicals that burn through skin. So I try not to keep him in the back showing him how to do stuff. But anytime that I let him, he'll run up on the brew deck and try to see what I'm doing. I regularly have to take samples of the beer just to taste it, see how it's progressing, take a gravity sample. And he's so observant, and he saw what I was doing. And now every time he comes here, he runs and grabs a tiny taster glass and tries to run back into the brew house to see if he can get a sample of something.
That's fun.
He's not quite old enough to really express an interest in anything in particular. He's just interested in everything. And he's here often enough because I part-time daddy daycare, part-time brewer, and he is often here with me as we try to get things done for better or worse. And we'll see once he's talking a little bit more and can say what he wants, if he really wants to be here with me or if he'd rather be back at home.
Yeah. I imagine he's going to get more and more interested in what you're doing.
We'll see. I feel like it's a cool job, but, you know, most people don't think what their parents do are interesting. So I'm sure, you know, by the time he's five, he'll be like, it's lame, Dad. You know,
we'll see. The jury's out.
Yeah.
You know, you said something in all of that. I was like, what's that? You said gravity sample? What's a gravity sample?
Yeah. So I don't know if a lot of people understand how we figure out how much alcohol is in a beer. Like our beers range anywhere from 4% to like 13%. Okay. And I think most people just assume that we have some chemical or machine that gives us a readout of what it is. And we don't. What we do is alcohol content is based on the amount of sugar that was in the beer initially and the amount of sugar that's in the beer at the end of fermentation, because the way that fermentation works is that the yeast is eating the sugar and then turning that sugar into CO2 and alcohol.
Okay.
So what we do is we take, again, the measurement of the sugar, which is the gravity reading, that's what we call it, and we compare that, the difference in the gravity from beginning to end, and we just plug that into an equation, and it tells us, well, if the yeast ate this much sugar, this is how much alcohol they would have created from that.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's an interesting lesson. I probably have to take it a few more times to totally get it.
But, it's not too bad.
You know, math. But anyway, yeah, that was really cool. You also have, I wanted to talk about a mug club. What is the mug club?
So the mug club, I think it's fairly common in a lot of breweries. I don't know if all of them in town have a mug club. We might all have some version of it. But what we do is it's basically a membership club. What you get is you get your own mug to take home. You get a 20-ounce mug to take home. There's a 20-ounce mug that stays here. And then what you do is if you buy a pint, which is typically 16 ounces, you're getting 20 ounces instead of the 16, and you're paying the same price. So it's an annual membership fee that throughout the year, you're getting an additional, what would that be, 25% for the same price as the 16 ounces. And on top of that, you also get like a 10% discount on beer to go and merchandise and stuff like that. So it's, the point of it is that if you are here frequently, then we want to reward you. Well, not reward, because rewarding someone seems like a weird way to phrase it. But if you're here often enough, we want it to be a way for you to save money. Just if you are here once a week and you buy one pint a week, we set the price so that you're saving money if you do it that way. So yeah, like I said, it's just a way to incentivize. If you're here often, then you should go ahead and get the mug club membership so that you get a mug to take home and you're saving a little bit of money if you're here super often.
Okay. What is the cost? Is that like a one-time?
Oh, it's $75 for a year.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's great. Everybody should be on the mug club.
Well, that's what we say, but.
Yeah. Now you don't just do brew there. X2 Comedy did 18 months of monthly shows before COVID happened, you know,
right.
then a couple outdoor shows last year, but you don't just have us there. You have other events going on. Can you tell the laughers what kind of events you have and talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. We frequently have live music. I think that's pretty common in a lot of breweries in the area that, you know, most Fridays or Saturdays, there's a good chance that there will be some sort of music going on, usually solo singer songwriters, cover bands, stuff like that. Nothing. We've learned not to have large rock bands here just because not all of our neighbors really appreciate the loud music coming from the brick building.
Yeah.
But we try to have some low key music, just kind of like background ambiance for people. And then we do some more interesting stuff, or at least not to talk badly about music. I enjoy music, but I like trying different things, and which is why we, you know, started having the comedy shows. Yes. I feel like breweries are a great place for a comedy show, just because most people are going to a brewery to have a good time and laugh. So
yes,
seems like a good fit. We've done paint and sip events. We've done Valentine Day events where it's like you make your own voodoo doll. So that was an interesting one we tried. Just easy, low-key events that, you know, you can easily do while sipping a beer.
Is there bingo?
There is bingo.
Talk about the bingo. Come on, Jeff.
Every Wednesday night at 8, and that's another one where all you have to do is be able to listen for a letter and number and stamp a piece of paper. So that's pretty easy to do when you have a beer in your hand. But
yes.
Yeah, it's free to play. People win $15 gift cards if you win bingo. So if you feel like just hanging out and potentially getting some free money that you can spend on beer, it's not a bad way to spend a Wednesday night.
That's right. What time does that start, the bingo on Wednesday?
8 o'clock.
Okay. So everybody bring your friends and do some bingo. That's what I'm saying. That's right. Now, how can, as we're wrapping up here, how can people best follow you, Restless Moon Brewing, Brewing on social media and find out about all these upcoming events?
We're on all the major social media platforms, you know, Facebook, we're Restless Moons, Instagram, we're at Restless Moons. We're on Twitter, but I barely use it because most brands aren't super active on Twitter. We're not on Snapchat because that was just beyond my age demographic and I cannot make sense of it. So don't look for us there. We're also not on TikTok because that's another one that I just don't get. But
me too.
Maybe one day you'll see me doing strange dances on TikTok to try and get you into the brewery, but that is not today.
That is not today. So mainly Instagram and Facebook, right?
Yeah, that's where we're most active.
Yeah, and we'll put that in the show notes for you too, listeners. Yeah, we'll put it in there. So this was really fun. Thanks, Jeff, for coming on our podcast today and spending
time
with
us.
Thank
you for having me.
Yeah, I loved it. Loved it. Loved it. And laughers, we invite you to grab some friends and stop by for a brew or two at Restless Moons Brewing, located at 120 West Wolf Street in Harrisonburg. Thanks for listening today. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.